We're going to cover several things, and this message, you know, I try not to make it a habit to reteach messages. And I was going through some notes from way back, and I saw this one, and at first I couldn't remember if I had ministered this message before, and took another look and noticed that I had, because I always make a note of when I had, so I passed it up. And I went through the notebook again, and I saw this one like three times. I'm drawn to this. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to go with it. You know, if I'm drawn to it like that, there's a reason for it. And one of the things about this particular message is that this one was first taught almost 5 years ago, and it shocked me when I looked at the date, because I didn't think it had been that long. But there was no outline for it. Because lately I've been trying to make these outlines so that eventually we can get them on the website. So anyway, now there will be an outline for this message. So let's just go ahead and get into this. And there are five things. Now there are a lot more than five, but there are five things tonight that we want to identify that are assignments given to the Holy Spirit, that God has given these to the Holy Spirit. Number one, to teach Christians all things. John 14:26. Now stop right there. He does not teach the lost. You say, well, why not? He's got to get them saved first. I mean, if you... See, I make that statement, he doesn't teach the lost, and immediately some Christians, well, I bless God, he does too. No. Remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit ministering to us on a spiritual level. Now, if you're not born again, you do not have that spiritual life on the inside that he can minister to. So you have to be born again first. When it comes to teaching... He teaches Christians, John 14:26. He guides Christians into all truth. And I may have the wrong verse written down here. It's John 16:13. And number three, he anoints Christians with power. Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8. Now we're not going to go back and look at these verses. You can look at these later on, and I would encourage you to do so. Number four. He leads Christians into a deeper love walk. In Romans 5:5, it talks about how that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Number five, he helps Christians conform to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now let me say something about all five of these. As I mentioned before, there are a lot more than five, but these are the only five we're going to talk about tonight. Every one of these is... what's a good way to put this? For example, he helps Christians conform to the image of Christ. That fifth one. This is not a passive conformation. Meaning, it is not a conforming to the image of Christ according to what you and I think that means. He works to conform, help Christians conform to the image of Christ according to the standard of Christ. Now, this is very important. For example, and we're not going to look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 right now. We'll get to it later on. But if you took Jesus and you put Jesus right here up on a pedestal and somehow you could see everything that he is, everything that he did, everything that he accomplished. I mean, you could just see that as he was standing there. The Holy Spirit would say, excuse me, class, may I have your attention? And we would all look at the Holy Spirit and he would say, I want you to look here at Jesus. And we would all look over at Jesus. And he would say, do you see what he is? Well, we would say, yes, we see what he is. It's amazing. Do you see what he can do? Yes, we see what he can do. Do you see what he has accomplished? Yes, we see. And he goes down this list and he says, okay, now that you see this, this is what I am trying to get you to become. Do you see this? And I can tell you right now, there are some Christians that would argue with the Holy Ghost. But we can't be that. And he would say, that's why you're in this classroom. It's because if you don't believe you can be this, then, bluntly, you're calling God a liar. Well, I'm not calling God a liar, Holy Ghost, not me. Yes, you are. Because if God has given us His Word and His Word says that we are to conform to the image of Christ and I am here to help you conform to this image, you can do it. So this is not a conforming to what we think conforming means. It's a conforming based upon the description of Jesus here in this word. Likewise, all five of these. He teaches us those things that are revealed in Scripture. Now let me just say this. When it comes to the Holy Spirit saying, what should I teach believers? He does not step outside your church and look at the sign and say, oh, okay, this is a Baptist church. Well, I will teach them Baptist Scripture. And he doesn't step out and look at, oh, well, this is a Methodist church. I will teach them Methodist Scripture, or Church of Christ, or Nazarene, or whatever the sign would be, Pentecostal, I mean, doesn't matter. He says, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you can erase all of those names off your sign, because when I teach, I am only teaching you what God has given. And if in the process I happen to disrupt your Nazarene, Methodist, Baptist, Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, etc., 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 doctrine, he says, I offer no apologies. Because if it gets disrupted in the process of me teaching, that means it shouldn't have been there in the first place. Now, these are five things. And again, so much more, and a lot we could say on this. But these are five assignments, five of the assignments of the Holy Spirit. Now, every one of these, all five of these, pertain to every Christian. There are no exceptions. Every Christian. I don't care who you are, where you live. And listen to this. It doesn't matter your culture. You can be any skin color, pick one, any skin color, raised in any culture, any nation, on the face of this earth. And all of this pertains to you. It's not based on your culture. He is not going to teach you an African scripture. He's not going to teach you a French scripture, or a Chinese, or a Russian, or an American. He is only going to give you and do for you what is recorded in God's Word. So this applies to every single Christian. Now let's move on to five constant truths for all Christians. Number one, you are living at your maximum level of spiritual knowledge. Right now. You are living at your maximum level of spiritual knowledge. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And I'll prove this in a moment. Number two, you are living by your maximum level of truth. Whatever truth you understand, whatever truth you have, whatever truth is resonant, you're living by your maximum level of truth. Number three, you are living and operating by your maximum level of anointing, power, and glory. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'll prove it. Just hang with me here. Number four, you are walking at your maximum level of love. For some people, this is really bad. Can we go to the next point, Brother Martin? Yes. Number five, you are living at your maximum level of conformity to Christ. All five of these pertain to every Christian. There are no exceptions. None. Well, Brother Martin, I take issue with this. Well, now let's think about it. For example, number three, you're living and operating by your maximum level of anointing, power, and glory. If you were operating by more anointing and power and glory, wouldn't we see it? How many sick people would survive in your presence? No, let me put it another way. How much sickness would survive in your presence? Every time somebody asks you to pray for them, would they not get healed? Now remember, are we not supposed to be conforming to the image of Christ? What is the image of Christ? Every person, read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every person that came to him was healed, was delivered. The maimed were made whole. No exceptions. 100%. All of them that came to him received whatever it was. Blind eyes were opened, you name it, it happened. So now if we were operating at a higher level of anointing and power, these people that come to us and ask us to pray for them, would that sickness survive? No. Would their crippledness survive? No. Would the devils playing with their life survive? Would those people not walk away from us changed just like people did when they walked away from Jesus? This is such a challenging thing for most Christians. Because what we don't want to think that we are less than what we can be. But the thing is, since this is true for every Christian, guess who else this is true for? Moi? Me? Every preacher? No matter who we are? All of us. We are all living at our maximum level of spiritual knowledge. How do we figure that? Well, do you still have questions about Scripture? We are living at our maximum level of truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free. How many things are we still struggling with in life? He said, you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. We already talked about the anointing, the power, and the glory. We're walking at our maximum level of love. Let's just talk about the last week and your relationship with your friends, your spouse. What about your boss? What about the people you drive beside every day? How are you responding to them? What kind of love is being demonstrated? When you're watching the ball game last night and the relief pitcher blew it and your team lost, did your TV survive? Are we going to see you shopping at the store for another TV because there's a big, you know, shoe hole in the screen of the one you used to watch? You're living at your maximum level of conformity to Christ right now. At this present moment, right now in our lives, we are living at the maximum level. Now, I did not say we are living at our maximum potential. I said we're living at our maximum level. And this is the difference. When you confront people about where they are, or let's think about this. There's a part of us, let's just be honest. These 5 points, you're living at your maximum this, maximum that, maximum the other. I mean, let's just face it. That kind of grates against us because it's almost like it's insulting. So we don't like that. However, compare where you are right now to where you were 20 years ago in your walk with Jesus. Are you not beyond, I hope, are you not beyond that point now? I mean, hopefully, aren't you beyond that? So, think now, 20 years ago, you were at your maximum level for that point in time. Now here you are, 20 years later, and you're still at your maximum level. It's just that, hopefully, your maximum level now is a lot higher than what it was 20 years ago. Now, for some people, it may not be. But I'm hoping that it is for every one of us. I know it is for me. Now, I'm not saying I'm at full potential. What I'm saying is I'm further along now than what I was 20 years ago. Well, the problem we have is coming to the place of really understanding the fullness of the potential that we have. How many times have we heard sermons? Well, how many times have you heard sermons from me? And how many times have we heard sermons collectively from others to where, you know, things are presented about, you know, doing this and doing that. And our minds, I mean, there's just something that like rises up on the inside and says, I can't. I can't. You hear messages about, you know, don't worry about things and the peace that passes. I just can't help it. Worry is just how I am. All of these things that are working on the inside of us that are not a reflection of Christ are things that need to be changed. What's really sad, I've encountered Christians that, boy, they don't want to change. I mean, they don't want to change. Sometimes they actually say that. Seriously. I've actually heard I don't want to. And then there are some people that say, oh yeah, I want to be like Jesus. When in reality, you know, they don't. Not really. They want to, just as long as it doesn't change their lifestyle right now. As long as it doesn't, you know, rock their boat that they're in. The boat they set sail in. Our potential is something that we have to grasp by faith. Because when we take a look at the image of Christ that Scripture paints, let's face it, we look at that and we think, how in the world can I be like that? How can I be like him? I mean, he walked on water. Okay, forget the water walking thing. All right? Let's just say that in our lives, there's never going to be a need for us to walk on water. Now, there was for him. But let's just say we're never going to have that need. All right? How in the world can I feed 5,000? Let's forget that one. Let's just say that there's never going to be a time when we are going to be preaching and teaching on a hillside with 5,000 men besides women and children, and that they need to be fed, and then we have to act on that. Let's just say we never have that kind of time or situation in our lives. Let's just take a look at these other things that he did. The way that he taught, for example. The anointing that he operated in. I mean, the Bible does say that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Let's think in terms of the devils that were cast out of people. Let's think in terms of the healings and so on and so forth. And you know, we look at that, and even still, we kind of have this, how in the world can I ever be like that? As long as we argue with Scripture, we will never live up to our potential. Well, I'm just too old. Says who? I mean, who told you? Who told you were too old? My driver's license, it's right there. Too old. Who told you you were too old? Your birth certificate? Who told you? The guy on television? Seriously, I mean, who told you were too old? Who? I didn't. And I seriously doubt if the person sitting next, well, they may have, but I seriously doubt the person sitting next to you told you, you're too old. Or, who told you that you were too dumb? I've heard that. Well, I'm just too dumb. I can't understand. Who told you were too dumb? Who told you were too stupid? Who told you didn't have enough money? Who told you were too ugly? Who told you were too short? Who told you were too fat? Who told you were too this? Who said these things to you? Because none of those things has any bearing whatsoever on your potential, because your potential is in Christ, not in the natural. But as long as you keep looking at the natural and what you perceive and what religion will tell you, I mean, I know I've encountered people in the past when they, you know, well, what do you do? You know, well, I pastor a church. Oh, really? Well, what seminary did you go to? So, well, I didn't go to seminary. You didn't? Well, how can you pastor if you didn't go to seminary? Okay, now, question. Who said you have to go to seminary to pastor? But just the way it is. Okay, but who said? Show me. Who said? They accused Jesus of being unlearned. He doesn't have papers. He doesn't have letters. That's what they accused him. And Peter and John, they accused them of being ignorant, unlearned men. But the Pharisees took note they had been with Jesus. I mean, who has told you all of these things that you can't do? Where did you come up with that relative to the potential that Scripture reveals to you? Let's look at this potential for a moment. Think of a distance runner. Whenever you have somebody who is a distance runner, they didn't start off running distances. They started off running about 100 yards. Or whatever they ran. And they slowly but surely began to work up to a longer distance. They couldn't do that at first. But after say, 3 months of training, you know what they were doing? They were running at their maximum level. For that point of their life, after 3 months, they were running at their maximum level. Their maximum level might have been 10 miles, I don't know. But after 3 months, they're at their maximum level. Then at 6 months, they're at their maximum level. Then at 8 months, they're at their max. You see this? But what they're doing is, even though that presently they're at their maximum level, there's still this huge gap of potential. And eventually, if their goal is 25 miles, you know, to run a marathon, if that is their goal, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to go from, you know, 100 yards over a period of time, continuing to fill their potential to the point they end up running that 25 miles. And who knows, they might even get to the point to where they win a marathon. You know, if you remember, who was it, Roger Bannister? the first one to break the four-minute mile. And if you do any research on that, it was said by the experts that it was impossible for the human body to run so fast that you could run a full mile in 4 minutes or less. I mean, medical experts were saying it's impossible. The human body can't do it. Well, then, bingo. Here comes Roger Bannister, and he breaks the four-minute mile. And people say, oh my, and now you've got high school kids that break the four-minute mile. Well, what happened? The potential was always there. Just nobody realized that potential. Now, trust me, I have never run a four-minute mile. I don't know if I've run a 10-minute mile. I don't know that I've ever run a mile, period. We don't want to talk about my potential. We don't want to talk about my maximum either. But you understand the point I'm making. They start off not being able to do much of anything, but the potential is still there. All right. Now let's look in Scripture at our potential. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to see a revelation of... It's not so much specific goals of our potential. It's the revelation of potential, I guess is a better way to put this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, why? What? That ye may what? Go beyond your present maximum level. See this? Now, let me fill you in on something. When you first got born again, you were a spiritual babe. Well, you might be, I mean, depending upon who's listening to this, you might be a spiritual babe right now. You might be a spiritual toddler. You might be spiritual daycare, spiritual kindergarten. You see what I'm saying? But wherever you are, it's not the time to stop desiring the sincere milk of the word, okay? He says, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow. Grow what? Grow into your potential. What is that potential? All those five things that the Holy Spirit wants us to be and become and to have and receive for Him. We get into the word and we begin to go beyond our present maximum and fill in all this potential. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 18, look at this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay, what are we seeing in this? We are seeing that there's a tremendous amount about Jesus Christ that we can know. He says, grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. Grow. Don't stay where you are, grow. Because right now where you are is your maximum level. You can't raise any more dead people than what you're raising right now at your present level of anointing. For all of us. We can't teach any more than what we know because we are presently at our maximum level of knowledge and understanding of Scripture. Until we receive more, we can't give more. See this? Now we can make it up. A lot of people do. Create our own revelation, if you will. But as far as God's concerned, we are right now at that maximum level. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is a really neat prayer by Paul, or a declaration of his feelings for these folks here at the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now look here at this verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now do you see this? This is describing a process. In other words, put it this way. I am presently walking at my maximum level of enlightenment, if you will, my spiritual eyes. The Holy Spirit wants to work in me with more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, so that my eyes are continually enlightened. that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What's he saying here? Look at this. In verses 15, 16, and 17, he says, this is my prayer, that essentially that you would work with God so that God could work with you, that, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you would understand everything else I'm saying from verse 18 all the way down to verse 23. Now think of this. Let's look at verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? Okay, this is not an open session here, but what is the power that God used to raise Christ from the dead? Now see, a lot of people cannot answer that. They have no idea. Well, it was the Holy Ghost. Okay, are you sure? I'm absolutely sure. Based on what? Well, there's got to be something in the Bible about it. Okay, based on what? See, he says, when he raised him from the dead, far above principality and power. What does that mean? There are Christians today that honestly do not understand about their authority over Satan's kingdom. They don't understand this to the point that they're afraid to encounter devils. And I've heard all this stupid stuff about, you know, dealing with people that have demonic problems and don't want to get too near them. You don't want that spirit to be transferred to you. Give me a break. Listen, if glory to God. Do you see that kind of fear in Jesus? Stay back, thou foul spirit. Transfer thee not unto me. No. What about Peter? What about Paul? What about the rest of them? What about the 70? Remember the 70 that Jesus sent out two by two? He did not tell them, and stay away from devils, lest they transfer unto thee. They came back and said, Jesus, this is incredible. Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And he says, yeah, well, praise God more for your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. See what I'm saying? Christians, they do not understand these things, and yet Paul is writing right in here, okay, if you don't understand these things, then that means that there's a whole lot more potential that has not yet been filled up. And the Holy Spirit has responsibility to help you grow in this. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now he talked about over there in Ephesians chapter 1 about Jesus being the head of the church, his body. And over here it talks about, and really to get the pure flow of this, you need to go from where we were in chapter 1 all the way through to this point right here. But he's talking about us growing and maturing spiritually and so on and so forth. And he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. In other words, here's your potential. Truth is going to help you grow up into him in all things. What all things? Okay, briefly, all things as in lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. All things as in cast out devils. All things as in blind eyes open. All things as in the lame walk. You see what I'm saying? In all things. All things as in a pure, clear understanding of the Word of God. Kingdom doctrine. Isn't that what Jesus taught? There are a lot of people who don't even understand the things that Jesus taught. When he was, just read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every time you scratch your head and say, I wonder what he was talking about there. He didn't say it to confuse us. He said it, and we have the potential to understand it. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We mentioned this verse earlier. But it says right here in verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image instantly, sovereignly, by a supernatural divine blink of an eye move of God? No. What's it say? From glory to glory. So in other words, right now, we are all walking and living at our maximum level of glory, having are living in the most conformity to Christ that we can at this point. But he says there's another level of glory. You have more potential for more glory. So as we begin to fill that potential and grow from where we are right now into that next level of glory, then we conform more to that image of Christ. We grow up into him in all things. Look over in John chapter 14. You know, this verse right here, John chapter 14, it's one of those that, I mean, I use it a lot because of the revelation. I mean, this, if ever there was a revelation of potential, look at this. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." A lot of Christians have no idea what, see the word works, the second in verse 12, greater works than these? Eliminate the word works. You say, well, okay, then what does it say? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." In other words, there is a greater work that can be done, greater than these. And you have Christians have no idea what this is talking about. Greater works. What's greater than raising the dead? I mean, if you walk up to a casket and say, "In the name of Jesus, get out of there." And what's greater than that? I mean, blind eyes, that's great. Lame legs, that's great. Deaf ears, that's great. That's wonderful. Cast devils out, phenomenal, man. Praise God for it. What's greater than raising the dead? And I've heard so many sermons on, you know, greater works, greater works, greater works. I just want to, sometimes when I'm in services now that I understand this, I want to just stand up. I don't. I resist it. But I'm, what is it? What are the greater works? And then what they do, because they don't understand it, they say, well, it means more in number. Really? In the context of this passage, it means more in number. Is that what you're telling me? Absolutely. Now sit down and let me finish my sermon. No, if you put this back in context, that's not what it, well, what is it talking about? Okay, I'll tell you. But if you want deeper teaching on it, you're going to have to get the sermon, okay? I think it's entitled Greater Works or something like that. What is the one thing that Jesus could not do while he was here on earth? He couldn't get anybody born again. Oh, they could believe in him that he was the Messiah, but until he had completed his work here on earth and gone to the cross and died for our sins, no one could be born again. How can you be washed by the blood of no blood's been shed? And he was telling them, listen, guys, you're going to be able to do everything I've done, but there's something greater than what I have done that you will be able to do, and that is you're going to be able to lead people to believe in me, the resurrected Christ, so that they can pass from spiritual death to spiritual life, and they can be born again. This is the greater work. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Look at this potential. I have the potential for blind eyes to open. We don't do it. No man does these things. No, that is exactly what the Pharisees said to Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. When Jesus was going around laying hands on people and they were being healed, whose hands were touching the sick people? This is not a trick question. Whose hands were touched? Jesus' hands, right? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good. He did it. Jesus said, look, it's the Father in me doing the works, but I'm the one that's carrying the Father to the place for the works to be done. You see what I'm saying? Likewise, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, but it's our hands that touch the people. He said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll cast out devils. See this? I'm the one that does the works, but I do it by his anointing. I do it by his leadership. I do it by his direction. You see what I mean? I do it by Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I do it through the strength of Christ, the anointing of Christ, the power of Christ. But it's me that goes out and does it, because Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you into the world to accomplish the works. My potential is right here in this 12th verse, in half of the verse. The blind eyes, The deaf ears, the lame legs, the devil, I mean, all of it is contained right here in the first half of 1 John chapter 14, verse 12. This is my potential. But he says, he that believeth on me can do these works. Is that not what it says in here? Okay, now, I am right now doing my maximum level of works. I'm doing all I can do. The works that he did, I'm at maximum level right now. He said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Nothing left out. Now, I believe in him. But I'm not yet doing all these works that he did. What does that say about me? What it says is this. I don't believe as much as I think I do. Because if I believed the way he's describing, I would be doing his works on a daily, regular basis. And this applies to every single believer. Churches don't want to hear this. Christians don't want to hear this because it points the finger at us and says, you just aren't doing enough. I'll point the finger at me, Jim. You just aren't doing enough. I'm just not. I have got to do what I need to do so that I can be at this point where God can use me the way that he used Jesus, because he wants me to represent Christ in this world. See? That's my potential. For every single one of us, this is the potential that we have. Now let's talk about, well, let me show you another verse. Let me look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This one, you know, it flies in the face of what a lot of people teach, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what are you seeing in here? Potential being realized. And he says, all scripture is given for this purpose. What does that mean? That means all scripture, all of it, I have the potential to understand it. I have the potential to. So when somebody stands up and preaches and teaches, well, you know, there are just some things in God's word we just never will understand. That is not true. Because if all scripture is profitable for doctrine, that means if I don't understand scripture, I need to work on something to help me to understand scripture so that my doctrine is fully correct. And I need to be thoroughly furnished, being perfect or fully mature, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works includes understanding all scripture. So my potential is that I have the ability, I'm born again, I have the ability to understand all scripture. Now, when it comes to developing our spiritual potential, we have these four tools. I've talked about these before. Prayer, which is primarily praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Worship, private worship. Meditation and confession of God's Word and fasting. Doing all of these, doing these four, I mean, even if you just do one of the four, but all four of these, when you do them, they always produce change. Always. This is not an if. This is not a maybe. This is not a, it might be. You know, what is it? Dr. Phil says, so how's that working for you? You know, people put money in the offering plate and expect an anointing. You're not going to get it. People feed the hungry and expect an anointing. You're not going to get it. Visit those in prison. Expect an anointing. Not going to get it. Clothe the naked. Expect anointing. Not going to get it. How do you get to the place of realizing your potential? These four right here. This is it. I mean, there's no other way. And sometimes it's so hard to try to get this across to people. And the reason it's so hard to get this across is that so many Christians have been taught differently. They have not been taught these things. And I'm not going to reteach all the series that I taught, but you know, all this is recorded, all of this is available. If you want the information, it's there. It's like, well, Brother Martin, I just don't understand why fasting hasn't. You need to get the series on fasting. You need to. Instead of living your life not knowing, you need to get that series. Well, Brother Martin, I just don't understand about, you know, the worship thing. Don't understand how worship improves my spiritual health. I don't know. Get the teachings on worship. Because if you don't know, you need to get this. And the same thing for praying in the Spirit, the same thing for the confession, the meditation of the Word of God, and so forth. If you don't understand why these things impact you on a spiritual level, just get the teachings and meditate on them. Listen to them. It's like I've shared before. Sit down and listen. Follow along in Scripture. Pray in the Spirit. Take notes as you go. And let God work in you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that you come to the place of understanding these things more deeply. Remember, we're talking about going beyond where we are right now and reaching a greater maximum level, reaching our potential. I think one of the reasons that a lot of Christians don't do this is because they just don't think they can. They don't see it. They just don't see that they have the ability to pull a Jesus on somebody and to get a miracle, raise the dead. When we talk about revival and we talk about people coming in, being healed, being delivered, and so on and so forth, let me ask you a question. You know, in the past, I've tried to paint the image of, you know, folks coming in here in the elevator and in all these wheelchairs and people coming in and being very sick, maybe on stretchers and with IVs and all, and, you know, the being healed and walking out healed and so forth. In your mind, who is the one praying for these people? I can tell you who it is for most Christians. It's the pastor. They see the pastor laying hands and getting all this done. In other words, they don't see themselves being able to do this. And yet in Scripture, we have a revelation that every single believer has the potential to do the works of Jesus Christ. For crying out loud, when they come in, why wait for me? Pray for them. Lay hands on them. Do the works of Jesus. Believe you can do this. Because this is the potential that God has sown into every believer the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That potential is there. And yet most Christians, you know what they do when there's somebody sick? They wait till the service is over and they say, Pastor, would you come back here and pray for my sick mother-in-law, my sick father-in-law, my kid, my dog, my cat? I got somebody back here, it's all met. Would you please pray for them? Yeah, I'll pray for them. On the inside, I'm thinking, what's wrong with you?
I'm not the pastor.
Are you a Christian?
Yep.
Spirit-filled?
Yep.
Believe in Jesus?
Yep.
Well, then do it. Oh, but pastor. See what you've done? You put the pastor up on a pedestal where the pastor doesn't need to be. In other words, what you've done is you've made the pastor better than you. Until he says something you don't like. I knew that guy was worthless. You know what Jesus has done? Jesus has taken us and put us up on the pedestal with Him. Because the Bible says we're seated with Him in heavenly places. That means the potential is there. If you've got a husband or a wife that's all messed up, pray for them because you've got the potential to do this. Listen, you've got to understand something. I'm not trying to get myself out of praying for people, okay? I'll pray for everybody. I'll wear my fingerprints off praying for people. It's okay. What I'm saying is you've got to start seeing yourself as having the same potential you see in me. Or the same potential that you see in the guy on television. Or the same potential in the person you went to their camp meeting. Or the same potential as Jesus Christ. You've got to see this. Because until you see it, it is never going to manifest. And essentially what you're doing is you're telling the Holy Spirit, try your best, Holy Ghost, but I can't do those things. And the Holy Ghost says, well, until you think you can, you're not even going to try. And there's not much I can do. You've got to see yourself with this amazing amount. You don't have Messiah potential, but you have Jesus Christ potential. Do you understand what I mean by that? You're not going to be God, okay? I'm talking about the Jesus we see doing the works in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have that potential. Guys, if we didn't, He wouldn't say we could. If we couldn't conform to the image of Christ, God wouldn't have put this in Scripture. Listen, if anybody would have had a problem understanding their potential, it would have been the Apostle Paul. This guy was killing the people he should have been listening to. And he got so delivered and so set free, he came to the place of understanding, I can conform to that image of the one who spoke to me on the Damascus Road. I can conform to that image. And he conformed to it so much that he turned around and he said, let me tell you what has happened to me. And he gives us a revelation of what happened to him in all of his writings. He calls himself the least of the apostles. I think it's the book of Acts. He talks about how that God really shouldn't have used me, but I'm glad he did. Because I persecuted the church unto death. When you do these four, this prayer, fasting, worship, and the word, when you do these, if you don't do these, it won't work. But when you do these, every time you do any of these, it's like you are giving the Holy Spirit a personal invitation into your life to work in you to fulfill the five assignments that we talked about at the beginning, plus everything else he's sent to do. Every time we start praying in tongues, it's like we are opening the door of our lives and inviting him in to help him fulfill his teaching responsibility, his give you revelation of knowledge, his help you conform to Christ, his anointing. I mean, all of it, every time you do this. Every time you begin confessing the word, you are confessing the very thing that he gave us, because Scripture says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration of God literally means breathed forth by the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus talked about in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears. You ever heard people talk about, I just wish I could hear God, just wish I could hear God. You are hearing God. You are hearing God at your maximum level of ability to hear right now. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't speaking or won't speak. It just means right now you're hearing at your maximum level. What happens? You do these four, praying in the Spirit, especially praying in the Spirit. He is able to help train your spiritual ears to hear his voice when he speaks. Because Jesus said he'll give you revelation upon revelation. He'll show you things to come. He will give you the revelation of God's perfect will for your life. He'll do this for you. But if we don't do our part, we cannot allow him, where we won't be allowing him, to fulfill his part in us. He will do everything he can, but he needs our cooperation. You know all these lost people that you know? All the lost people in your family don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is just standing there waiting for them to make a profession of faith in Jesus so that he can work that renewing work in their lives? He's right where, I don't care where they are. I don't care where, they might be in prison right now. They might be committing adultery right this minute. They might be in the bar drinking. They might be someplace out smoking their dope. I don't know. Wherever they are this very moment, the Holy Spirit is standing right next to them, waiting for them to call upon the name of the Lord. And the moment they do, bam, he moves and they're born again. But he can't do it if they don't call upon the name of the Lord. See this? If he doesn't get their cooperation, he can't do his work. Likewise for us, if he doesn't get our cooperation, he can't do his work in us. I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be excited. I want a fire to be lit on the inside of you tonight to understand, if I do these things, I will be moving closer and closer and closer to walking in the footprints of Jesus. I will be closer and closer to conforming to the fullness of that image. I will be closer and closer to growing up into him, the head of all things. I will be closer to doing the works of Jesus. Let me tell you what, you start doing the works of Jesus, you are going to attract some attention. Both in the natural and in the realm of the spirit.
I don't want to fight the devil.
Well, you know what? I'm sure Paul didn't want to at the beginning, but he grew in Christ to the point that where he realized, hey, even if he sends, even if there is a messenger of Satan himself, Satan's personal errand boy attacks me, I can still do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If he wants to sink my ship, that's all right. I'll swim to shore. If he wants somebody to lock me up in a prison, I'll just sing praises until I'm released. If they want to beat me and whip me and all, I will still run my race. I will do this because a devil can't stop me. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. That's my potential. Every single one of you here tonight, every single one of you listening to this tonight, the Holy Ghost has a goal for you, and that goal is for you to conform to the image of Christ, to do the works of Christ, to fulfill God's kingdom purposes here on this earth. And I don't care who you are, how young, how old, I don't care what your past has been. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that potential exists in you, every single one of you. Our potential always exceeds our present maximum level. So no matter how much anointing you're walking in right now, there is greater potential. No matter how much knowledge you have right now, there's greater potential. No matter how much truth you're walking in, no matter how much love, it doesn't matter. Whatever your maximum level is right now, wherever you are, there's still room for more. There is still a boatload of potential right there in your life. Years ago, there was a commercial. Some of you may remember it, for Jell-O. And the slogan was, "There's always room for Jell-O." Remember that? Well, there's always room for more of Christ. Praise God. I want to get as close as I can in this life to reaching my potential. Now you're talking revival. Praise God. So every one of you, don't you ever again believe that you can't. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Hallelujah. Man, look at all this potential.